Your network will determine your net worth. It's, you know, so many times people are like, I want to make it big. I want to make it big in the comedy business or whatever. Then expand your network. You know, I it's funny because I talk to a lot of young comics that they're like, I don't know if I should go to these festivals, or I don't know, you know, if it's worth the investment of going. And I'm like, if you're going to win a contest, then don't do it. Because winning a contest won't do you squat. But if you're going to a festival, or if you're entering a contest because it's going to give you an opportunity to network with other comics and meet other people, go and network and get to know people, build your circle of influence, and it will pay off in the long run.
Now, broadcasting live from the Podcast Palace on Park Street in beautiful and dangerous Clearwater, Florida, it's the Comedians on Cork podcast. And now, here are your hosts, Tony God and Pat Largo.
Hey guys, welcome to season 3, the Comedians on Cork podcast. Thank you so much, you beautiful folks who are checking us out on YouTube and Spotify and our Facebook page and comediansoncork.com. Thank you so much for checking out the Comedians on Cork podcast. It's Pat Largo, it's Tony God, and we love to say thank you to a lot of people, especially our in-studio sponsor, Julie Drolshagen of Century 21. Great for all your real estate needs, buying and selling. You can get her at 727-902-9233 or floridabeachbusiness.com.
floridabeachbusiness.com. For all your real estate needs in Clearwater?
Yes. With a question. It is in Clearwater, Florida, Tony God. She's a godsend, man. And speaking of godsends, see, we tried to deliver all forms and angles of the entertainment and comedy business, and today is no different. We have with us today on the Comedians Uncorked podcast, all the way from Greenwood, Indiana, a different time zone, for God's sake. He is the Vice President of Talent Acquisition, which is a nice title that basically means head booker and GM, of Gutty's Comedy Club in Indiana. Thank you so much for joining us, Dennis.
Well, it's my pleasure to be with you guys today. And I will say, when you add a big title to make it sound important, it just means I got to do more work than I really want to.
Yes.
Or you got to pretend to do more work.
Well, that's I'm pretty good at pretending, except when they walk in and they hear me snoring. Then they're like, the old man's over in the corner sleeping again.
You know, and let me I know if this is just age or what, or a little bit of keen slickery here, but when I was working in the hotel business, guys, I wake up at 3 a.m. and being a bellman at a hotel in Tampa, sometimes you just don't want to do things. But I noticed when the GM or other my bosses, which were a lot of people, would always come around me, all I had to do, I knew they were trying to get me to do something, and I always keep my pen handy and just a blank sheet of paper. And when I saw them coming, I would just pull the paper out and just go like this and walk the other way. They would leave me, because they thought I was going to do something. And it worked every time. So Dennis, mark that down.
I always say, pace yourself and appear to be busy.
That's it. These are the only things you need. Just give it a fake scratch and go, okay. If once you say okay to yourself, they go, leave him alone. He's busy. He's got things to do.
This just turned into a tutorial on how to look busy.
It's a TED talk.
It's a Pat talk.
I'm sorry. Well, listen, no, Dez, it's a pleasure having you on. I know I had some comedian friends of mine here in the Tampa Bay area who have been definitely to the Minnesota club. I think they also have been to your Indiana club. Tony, and you've been all over the country many times. I don't know if you've ever been to Gutty's or played Gutty's.
I have not been to Gutty's. I've been to Indiana.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of where I played. It's probably not there anymore. That's how long ago it was. It's like I've been up in the Midwest and so forth. And that's a whole different thing than the Florida scene. You know, it's like a lot of comics getting out of the state are finding that out. But Now, I noticed that you guys have been around since like 2003.
Yeah, my business partner, Steve, got things started with Gutty's back in 2003. It was one of those things where he was doing some one-off shows and, you know, kind of doing some pop-up shows, those types of things. And that was kind of the format that Gutty's had for the first number of years. And then it was about 3 years ago now that he and I were talking, and I said, it's time for us to kick Gutty's up a notch. And that's where we locked into a place here in Greenwood, Indiana. For those people who aren't familiar with Greenwood, one of our little suburbs is a place called Indianapolis.
Oh, and
yeah, they're just, it's one of our North Side suburbs, as we refer to it. They get a lot of attention because we had a big racetrack built in the suburb there, and people reference that. But we opened up here in Greenwood just coming up on 3 years ago. Right so before the pandemic decided to kick everybody in the teeth, you know, which wonderful time. But yeah, so we've been around, Gutty's has been around since 2003, but really taking a little bit more of a step up and a little bit more of a prominence with the brick and mortar facility here. And then about a year ago, we're coming up on a year now, we opened our second spot up in the Minneapolis area in Edina, Minnesota.
Okay, that's very cool. I want to follow up on that. Like you said, the club started in 2003. Now, you said your partner was doing pop-up shows prior to that. Now, were you involved in those, or were you just kind of, you guys just kind of worked together, you had business together, or were you involved in those as well?
I was involved with some of those shows, but because at that point, Steve was living up on the north edge of Chicago. And so I was doing some, occasionally doing some shows with him. Most of the time he was carrying the load of the pop-up shows and that kind of stuff through the first 10, 12 years of operations. He pretty much was running things because I was still traveling full time as a comic, and I would help him from the road as much as I could, and you know, trying to help book talent for him. Because I've been in business, you know, a little bit longer than Steve, and so he was always leaning on the old man to go through my Rolodex, yeah. And you know, who do you know that can help us with this show? So
Rolodex.
Yeah,
that's, yeah. See that shows you that takes it back a little bit. And real quick, let me just clarify. So Steve, that's Steve Rivera. He's the founder and CEO of Gutty's, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, yep. Cool, man. And that just to start that's fantastic. Now, you said you were a full time touring comic. So how long have you been in the entertainment game?
I've been in the entertainment game, I think, pretty much my entire life. But officially, it was about 25 years ago that I went full time. I spent about 10 to 15 years doing this. And then I had one of those four letter words. A job. Had one of those things so I could support my comedy habit for a while. But it was about 25, 26 years ago that I went full time.
Okay, cool. Okay. So now you basically become, you were the primary source of the talent at first, or is that, as a comedian, you know, we work with everybody else, so you know people. Were you kind of like pulling the talent at first, or are you guys still doing that, or how does your booking work now?
Yeah, pretty much I do all the booking for both clubs. Occasionally, Kyle, the guy that runs the club up in Minnesota, Kyle will say, hey, I'd like to get so-and-so because he did a show with them. And Kyle is a touring comic as well. Mm-hmm. And so he'll ask me, you know, to work out the contracts with a comic that I may not have worked with, but for the most part, it's people that I've worked with, people that I've met along the journey, or somebody that I've worked with that has either had somebody feature for them in the past, and then they say, hey, they're hitting that headlines level. You really should take a look at them. And so we've had, you know, people like that that have come through referrals from people that I've worked with in the past. And I pretty much still do all the booking for both clubs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. That says a lot. That says a lot about networking right there.
Yeah.
Well, and I will say, people that hang out with me long enough, they will hear me say this more than once. Your network will determine your net worth.
That's true. Yeah. That's a t-shirt right there, man. Yeah. Come on.
Can you say that one more time for everyone?
Your network will determine your net worth. It's, you know, so many times people are like, I want to make it big. I want to make it big in the comedy business or whatever. Then expand your network. You know, I it's funny because I talk to a lot of young comics that they're like, I don't know if I should go to these festivals, or I don't know, you know, if it's worth the investment of going. And I'm like, yeah. If you're going to win a contest, then don't do it. Mm-hmm. Because winning a contest won't do you squat. But if you're going to a festival, or if you're entering a contest because it's going to give you an opportunity to network with other comics and meet other people, mm-hmm. Go and network and get to know people, build your circle of influence, and it will pay off in the long run. Yeah. And, you know, for the last several years, I've been able to help be a judge for World Series of Comedy.
Okay.
Do you guys host a satellite event there?
We don't. And the reason that we don't, and Joe Lowers, who runs World Series of Comedy, he and I have talked about it, but because Gutty's is a family-friendly club, which is a little bit of an oddity when it comes to the world of comedy, we produce clean shows so that and we have it quite often. We have families that bring their kids in for the shows. Unfortunately, the World Series of Comedy, they're not in a place where they're wanting to segment and have a family-friendly satellite.
Right.
Although it's one of those things, and this is the part that Joe and I have talked about, and he struggles with at this point, because he knows that the World Series of Comedy is all about getting people to that feature level, and that's where feature level work, they, more times than not, they want their feature to work clean. Doesn't matter how filthy or how raw, how blue the headliner is, 9 times out of 10, they want a clean feature. And so it makes sense to me that they'd want to do something in conjunction with us, just so they could emphasize that clean side of things. But as of right now, we have not hosted a satellite. We have done one of their one night events to kind of feed into the satellite. Trying to think. It was the club over here in Dayton that had the satellite, and we did a one night event to kind of feed them a couple of comics out of that to the satellite that they had. And now I'm drawing a blank. the name of the club there, which is really bad because I'm getting old.
Yeah. I'll do it. Yeah, real quick. That's fine. You came in at the perfect time. I got two quick ones for you. So I noticed on your website, clean comedy, but I didn't realize it was 100% full-time for both clubs, Minnesota and where you are in Indiana. So when did you guys make that full-time switch where you said, listen, we want to do clean comedy in these clubs 100% of the time? And do you see it affecting business at all? Like, is it, you know, do some people figure, I don't want to go to clean shows? Do you feel also see it affecting the bottom line?
To answer the first question, when Steve kind of came up with the vision of putting together Gutty's Comedy Club, that was from the start, was let's do something that, you know, cause he has kids, and I had said all along, you know, my son, I was taking my son to shows with me when he was 3 or 4 years old. And, it was one of those things where, you can't always do that with certain clubs and certain places. So he was like, he really wanted to have a place that was always going to be family friendly so that families could come together and enjoy a great laugh.
Okay.
And because, I've made probably 95% of, my career, I've done corporate comedy. And that's where I've made my living, is on the corporate side of things, where I always work clean. And so I saw the business side of what it meant for us to have a clean club, and what it meant for us to be able to invite families to come in and enjoy the shows. So that's always been from day one from, you know, Steve's desire to see the club be that way. So when we opened up, when we were doing the one-off shows and the pop-up shows, it was always clean comedy.
Okay.
In terms of how it affects the business, yeah, there are sometimes people will, they'll say, oh, wait, I didn't realize this was a clean comedy club. And
right.
But the point that we have made is, we're booking talent that is hilarious. And as long as it's funny, people that, you know, this is one thing I always say to comics. I've been in this business a while, and I've never had somebody come up after a show and say, I want my money back because you didn't cuss enough. You didn't tell enough dick jokes.
You didn't use bad words today.
I want my money back.
Right.
You know?
Well, this leads me to a question, kind of leads into what we were talking about earlier. First of all, I know you have very funny comics because I saw you had BT there. He's hilarious.
He was just here. Yep.
Yeah, he is so funny. But with the concept of a clean comedy club, the whole venue is presenting clean comics all the time. And we're talking about these one-off shows here and around the country about people, how do they market and how do they promote those shows? Now, how do you market those shows in particular? Because it is to a particular niche, you know, they want to see clean comedy. How do you, do you use traditional methods, the social media and all that? How do you approach that?
Yeah, it's kind of a constant challenge, particularly in today's environment, because what one time worked extremely well for clubs to get cheeks in the seats, it's not necessarily working, whether you're doing a clean show or not. It's, you know, you've really got to, continue to evolve and adapt. And that's one of the things we've seen, you know, radio occasionally gets some movement, but it's not what it once was. Mm-hmm. Print media is almost, it's one of those terms where most people today don't even remember when there was a thing called a newspaper. you know, it's news on my phone or news on my computer. And so we've had to kind of evolve and adapt. A lot of social media is pretty much heavy on our marketing aspect of things is using a number of different platforms on social media to do that. We still try to leverage, you know, the broadcast market. We've actually developed a really good relationship here in the Indianapolis area with Wish TV 8, and so we've done a pretty good job of cycling comics in for interviews and that before they are coming in for a show. And then we do a lot of during the midweek time frames, a lot of times on Thursday nights, we'll carve out a time to do a Comedy for a Cause event for a local charity, those types of things. And we get a lot of return from local media when it comes to radio and TV, you know, talking about the Comedy for a Cause event, but then also talking about Gutties and what we do on beyond that. And so
you bring in the headliner that for that Thursday show, is that if that's like a one-off show for the rest of his week?
Yeah. We, a lot of times, you know, if I've got a guy booked for Friday and Saturday night, I'll have him come in a day early and we'll use him for the Comedy for a Cause event, and we'll get him in with as many media outlets as they're willing to do, and what we can do to kind of help promote the events. But it does a little bit helping promote them as a comic as well. And I think that's the big thing, that having come to the club side of this from, you know, working as a traveling comic, I realized that I want to do as much as I can to promote the comics that are coming in while I'm promoting the club. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the things that I wish I would have done a little bit better a job before, when I was just doing the traveling comic side of things. I wish I would have worked at least twice as hard promoting the events as I did trying to get the events. Wow, you know, because that's one of the things that, you know, we've got comics that I'll book here, and as soon as they get booked, they're promoting the show. Hey, I just found out I'm booked 2 months from now at Gutty's Comedy Club in Greenwood, Indiana. If you're in my area, come, you know, and they start promoting it along. And every time I see a comic that does that, I'm going, there's a comic that wants to be rebooked before they come and do the show the first time, you know?
Yeah.
So
that's true. Yeah.
If you help us succeed, we'll help you succeed, you know?
It's that motivation, it's that desire to do it. And it goes back to what you said, your network will determine your net worth. So you're seeing who's hungry and who's doing what. And being, you know, with me and Tony, or I should say Tony and myself, we do a lot of stuff with local media. And I've been in and out of local media here for decades here in the Tampa Bay area. And what you're doing with the local radio, which is true, it's not what it used to be, but it's still a medium. And local TV, it's great to hear that. Because when you tie all that in, man, now you got yourself an event. It makes it sound like you have a big show coming up, and you do, but you're making it grand, and it's beautiful. When you're doing clean comic, do people get a little facetious, or do they assume that it's a Christian comedy club or a Christian comedy show?
We've had some of that where people are like, oh, I don't know if I want to go see a Christian show. Well, okay, you know, then you may not want to go to, you know, the First Self-Righteous Church of Holiness and Baptist, whatever, you know, because that is a Christian show over there.
Yeah.
This show, it's just going to be funny, you know. Now, I will say there have been times we've had comics come in that are Christians. But it's not like I go out to book somebody and the first qualification is, are you a Christian?
Yeah, it's not exclusive to the comedy.
Yeah. My first requirement is, are you funny?
Right.
And can you work clean?
Yeah.
Okay. If you're funny and you can work clean, then let's talk. And then there at the same time, there are a lot of comics out there that can work clean, but they're not all that funny, you know? And I'm just like,
right.
Well, okay. You know, and that's, I will say this, and I don't want to step on anybody's toes, but a lot of comics that do stuff as a Christian comedian, they do a lot of stuff in churches, and in the church environment, they might be very funny to those people. I don't know. I just know that they're not club funny.
Yeah, it's like being office funny.
They need to, you know, they might need to step up their game in terms of their writing. They need to work on some word economy, those types of things to, so that they can tighten their things up and that to actually be funny. Mm-hmm. And so again, I don't make that, it's not like I'm going out with the prerequisite of, Tony, are you a Christian?
Right.
Let's talk. You know, you're not?
First,
oh,
comedy, second.
Let me, Dennis, quick question on the Christian comedy. If a Christian comedian comes in, funny or not, male or female, do you give them at least one F-bomb if they mess up? If they say the F-word one time, do you fire them immediately or do you let them do things?
If somebody comes in and it slips because it happens.
Right.
We don't cut their mic the very first time. We let them know, hey, you're walking across the line that we don't want you walking across. and we've actually got a sound cue that's prepared at the booth. I think it's, I want to say it was maybe from Price is Right, you know. Bah, 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 you know.
Oh, yes. So, that tuba.
I got a question for you. Here's a question. Now, have you had a comic come in that you saw he's legitimately funny and he's trying to work clean because he wants to work for you, but he just can't pull it off?
Yeah. We've had that happen where we've given some guys a chance and they kind of slip up and like I say, I tend to be pretty gracious when it comes to people that are really putting in the work and really trying. At the same time, we've had guys that are like, oh, I'm trying to work clean, I'm really working hard at it, and I'm not seeing any evidence of it, because they walk in for our open mic and they're like, so I can't say, okay, if you're starting with that as your premise, you're pretty much backing into trouble, so
yeah.
There are guys that a guy that I've become really good friends with is a Detroit comic. Actually, I'm not sure if he still lives in Detroit. I think he's moved out to the left coast someplace. Mike Eshak, and by the way, pretty Muslim dude, not a Christian, but when I first met Mike, he's hilarious, and he's like, yeah, I know I probably should have some clean material, but I just can't seem to get there. And I sat down and I showed him his material and how close it was, but the fact that the language issue that he had was more out of laziness than it was out of his ability. It was just,
right,
if I don't have to really think about it, I can drop an F-bomb in here and it'll spice things up a little bit. But once he realized that he could actually do his entire set clean, I booked him here. He headlined here at Gutty's. One of the first, I don't remember if it was one of his first ones or not, but it was, I know it was his first time doing a completely clean set. He came off the stage after his first show here and he was like, man, that felt so good. I didn't think I could do it, but he did. And that's where we really try to help comics that are coming in see, it's not a material issue in terms of their premise and that kind of stuff. Now there are some people that start with premises that are on the other side of the fence from where we want the comedy to be here. But for the most part, people aren't starting out with a raunchy joke and just trying to write it to be funnier as a raunchy joke. They stumble into the side of things because it's easy, it's lazy, and they really don't want to put the work in to do the clean side of writing. So
that's really cool. Yeah, I guess it's a cathartic, almost. It's like a comedy cleanse, so to speak. If you can do it clean, and like you said, he came off stage like, wow, I'm purged. I feel amazing now. I can do that. That's gonna be very nice. A good feeling.
Yeah, that's a growth moment. A growth moment as a comic.
Here's what I will say.
That's funny.
the comics that say, you know, hey, I really want to have a clean set that I can take anywhere, I will always do anything I can to help them write on the clever side and turn material into clean material that they can use anywhere.
Well, let me ask you this real quick. Since, you know, I know we're running out of time, but if we know some really good clean comics.
Yeah.
Now you're the booker. How do they go about contacting you and the submission process? We'd like to pass that to them.
Yeah. If they want to send their electronic press kit to booking@guttiescomedyclub.com.
Okay.
That comes to me. Actually, it comes to both Steve and me. And there's times when, you know, he'll see it first and he'll like, hey, I really like this person. Get them booked, you know. But it ends up with me taking a look at it. So if anybody is wanting to come in, do a feature set, if they're headlining and they want to come in, they've got a clean headline set, send their press kit to booking@guttiescomedyclub.com. I'm going to say this because I didn't think I necessarily needed to just till recently when I said somebody, hey, send me your press kit. And they sent me their press kit. It was a headshot, their bio, and all the clubs they've worked. No video clip whatsoever for me to see their work. And I'm just like, maybe send me a couple of clips.
It's easier than ever, by the way, because I've been doing this since back in the day where we had to mail out the VHS tape.
Oh yeah,
so that's a whole different. And fax your avails.
Yeah. So yeah, it's one of those things. I'm just like, I didn't think I'd have to say that, but now when somebody asks me, I say, send me your EPK and a couple of clips.
There you go.
Because I want to be able to. And here's the other thing I will say: if you've got a 5-minute set, send it. If you've got a 5-minute set and you've got a 30-minute video clip of a feature set that you did or a portion of a headline set you've done, send that as well. Because I like to see a couple of different things. I like to literally drop in any place in a video and see how strong the audience is responding to what's happening at that given moment. So don't be afraid to send me a longer clip as well as a 5-minute set. But don't send me an edited clip where you pick out just your 5 or 6 best jokes and then you kind of blend them all together. I want to see what's happening between your delivery, your setup, your punch, the audience's response, and how you transition into your next bit, because it gives me an idea how well you work. So
perfect.
Okay. Perfect.
I like that. And we're going to do that. We're going to put that all over social media, the booking@guttiescomedyclub.com. Tony is right. We have so many great, clean Tampa Bay area and just Florida comedians. But this is
for people. Yeah, we got a few of them here.
Yeah. Yeah. Really good, man. So I love it. Listen, Dennis Tooley, and also your compadres, man, Kyle Yamada at Gutties in Minnesota, and you're Steve Rivera, CEO and the founder of Gutties. But I want to thank you for being on the Comedians Uncorked podcast with us, man. And we really appreciate your work. Keep it going. We love the clean thing. And we really, really appreciate that. And I want to tell people, for Tony God, my name is Pat Largo. Again, thank you for checking out the Comedians Uncorked podcast. Laugh, you deserve it. And we will see you next time.
You're putting up with the Comedians Uncorked podcast, live from the Sunshine State, Florida.
Don't forget to check out our Comedians Uncorked YouTube channel and just click on that subscribe button. Thanks.